Ranch and Oral History Tape 80-5, Side 4.
Well, how much change do you think you saw in the outfit and the way things went from the time you first got there till you left?
Well,
we get a lot of this old ranch, new ranch talk, you know.
Yeah, well, I'd like to address that too, aside from the last question. Sure, the ranch was a living, breathing type thing. It constantly changed. It changed, if nothing else, because of the numbers of people that you got in. And their particular backgrounds that they brought to bear, and the view of the towards the war itself as it moved on. I saw a significant change. I got when I first got in the ranch, it was a period of time where they had come off of several months stand down, about 2 or 3 months before, where they had reassessed whether they were going to continue to defoliate. And they finally decided, yeah, they were going to go ahead and do that. This was a political decision, apparently, and they ran some tests on a bunch of things.
While they were standing out, what were the crews doing?
You'd have to talk with Jack. He was there with that. I don't know what they were doing, but they were getting antsy about the impression that I got. So they were glad to get back to work. Russ Morning is the one that gave me most of the information on that. But the big change that I noticed was, of course, brought on by the movement to Benoit. I had some feeling for that from our being up at Da Nang when we, you know, after they had the coup attempt in mid-66, and they closed the base to where the guys couldn't go off base and go downtown too much, and a curfew and so on. Well, the life at Da Nang took on a distinctly different, less pleasant tone, living in those crude barracks, you know, and it was really the only diversion was to go to the damn club. And that changes an outfit. You know, we could get out and get away from the war and so on around Saigon or in downtown Da Nang, but being there at Benoit, and I went back, see, to Benoit in 69. I spent a tour there.
With the fighters.
With the fighters, and it was like night and day. And I went down and visited with some of the guys there in the ranch, and, you know, they still had a gung-ho spirit, but the only outlet those guys had was flying, or in that club, or whatever else they did on the base, or, you know, thrashing and arguing with one another. They didn't have the outlets. Didn't have the same outlets. So that brought on a change. You know, the new ranch and the old ranch, that, I don't really like to hear that too much, because as far as I'm concerned, the guy paid his dues no matter when he was there. And you knew that if he stayed there and did the job, whether he took no hits or whether he took 300 hits like some guys did, didn't make any difference. The potential was there, and the guy faced it and stood in it and hung in there. So, you know, there was the dues were paid. We got into a little flap on that new ranch, old ranch business several years ago at one of our reunions. You got a bunch of strong individuals in an outfit like this, and some guys would show up in white shirts with purple on the back, and some had green shirts with yellow on the back, and some had black shirts, and some didn't have any shirts, and you know, all of this, when was it better, my time or yours, and those were such academic arguments, but some guys really got uptight, and I suspect even today we've got one particular year group that doesn't come to our reunions very much based on some of the feelings that
possibly
they went
defensive,
away.
Yeah. Nature,
but that's unfortunate, because I look at all of that as really being unnecessary. It's, you know, a guy that thought that while he was there things were the roughest and the outfit earned its fame, that's baloney. It, the whole time, the whole 9 or 10 years, everybody contributed. Hopefully most of them positively, but the that's why I think an accounting of what that outfit did over the years. Sure, there were peaks and valleys and different personalities that affected things different ways. I know the first time I ever heard about the operation was in when I was going to command and staff, and we got a scattering of briefings on it. And I thought, oh, that's interesting, but I didn't pay a lot of attention. Then I read an article and I saw a name of a particular former commander that was moved around a little bit in the article, and I said, well, that's, you know, that's impressive. And I remember that name because it was an unusual one. When I got over there and talking to some of the guys, they were still the new ranch, old ranch theme then, see, and we're talking 65 now.
Yeah.
And the claims that the particular commander at that time did not fly a mission with this guy for the last 6 months that he was there. I recognized the problem with that guy was the same one that everyone had over there. He was just in a position that, and they weren't doing that much activity anyway because of that stand down. So that new ranch, old ranch stuff is, you know, that's a really kind of a dumb argument. When we had our first reunion, I get back in November of 66, and I thought, you know, we can't let this kind of thing die. This was a good thing. So I called Jack, and we decided then that we had to have a reunion. You take an outfit that doesn't really have a purpose in their reunion other than fellowship or getting together and war stories is on weak footing, I feel. The Air Commandos now, they've got a much bigger outfit, and they're going into the supporting an orphan or scholarships, and it gives you a little different purpose, a sense of continuing achievement or goals, you know. And we haven't really gone into that now. And partly, I guess, is the reason that some of our, we don't ever have, this will be the biggest number we've had in a reunion in a long time. We started off with a reunion. Of course, we had fewer numbers to deal with. Half of the guys at the first reunion were the guys that went back to 62 and 63. And there was a new ranch, old ranch theme right there, you know. I don't see many of those guys at our Carl Marshall. And he was the first commander over there. Haven't seen him at a reunion yet. After that, I think he was at the first one. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, that's just unfortunate.
I don't know. Maybe it's because it's such a small outfit, but and there is no continuation. There's nothing ongoing. There never will be.
Yeah.
And there's no, nothing before. It's a,
well.
Had the aerial spray flight, but that wasn't really.
I guess you can look ahead and say, where do we go from here? Hopefully, we'll continue to be a viable type thing. You know, eventually, all these guys will be old and dead and gone, and there won't be any associate members such as the Dedalians use with carrying on in that tradition.
Yeah.
So, this is a dying breed, like. Some of the other things in the past, but I view it as an opportunity to get around guys, regardless of what I think of their personality or how I perceive them now. I feel that there's a bond that you know that I know, and I made a contribution. You made a contribution. He made a contribution. That was worth something, and. Maybe I look back too much rather than looking ahead, but I think there's something to be gained, you know, and to re-strengthen the metal a little bit. That's what I see out of that. Retempering.
One final thing. This is may be apropos, but it's that way. Now here was a unique outfit. So unlike the fighter squadron, for example, you could be in a fighter squadron in the States, be a commander and go over there and be a commander in a fighter squadron in Vietnam, and there wasn't, you know, you were prepared. Here's something special and different. Could there have been a better way of doing things as far as command structure, as far as people going over there prepared for the job? Should there have been an overlap, or should commanders and ops officers have changed in pairs?
Well, sure, they're, you're always better to give a guy a little overlap. We don't afford that luxury much anymore in the military. A guy gets a couple of handwritten notes, be careful about this and that, and watch this guy, and have a good luck.
Well, my feeling was it was at least when I hit there, it was really a hand-to-mouth operation, and that's from the air crew standpoint. And I really didn't feel it in the command structure, in the administration end of things, it was any better.
Well, Dennis and I had about a week and a half overlap when he came over and took it over. And I not only showed him around town, I flew with a guy, and he was generally pretty well prepared. Introduced him around to all the senior people that he dealt with and walked him through everything. And to me, he was well prepared. Now, when I got there, Russ Mone was running things, and Russ had been there when Hay Chapman, who was a commander before him, was there. And Hay Chapman had Tony Tellez. Tony had been there, and he came back in country on two or three different tours because he ended up marrying a Vietnamese girl. And he'd come back to be near his future wife. And, you know, you could always talk things over with old Tony. Well, Tony was back there on my tour, too, so I had at least two former commanders. Russ was there for about 6 months. When I got there, Russ and I sat down, and he said, you ought to take over command of the outfit, but I don't think you ought to do it right away until you see what's happening and how. And I agreed with that. So Russ continued to command that outfit for about the first 3 weeks. We sat down again. He says, you ready? And I says, yeah. So we made the move, and he became the ops guy. And then he went home in July, I think. And, you know, that was an overlap for me, and that worked super. Boy, when I had full responsibility, I had full knowledge, too, and it made a difference. And I tried to do that for Dennis, but I only had a week or week and a half.
A week and a half sounds a little short.
Well, I don't think so, I think that was fine. The idea, if you could keep, if you could have staggered the ops officer and the commander, would have been a neat thing to do, or flight commanders, you know, that way. But to bring in an all new team, that's tough. That's where I went into the second time I was over. I took a fighter squadron over, two new fighter squadrons. Ben Juan, and there was an old fighter squadron. The Raps were there in the A-37s, and we brought on the two new ones, the Dog Squadron and the Dice Squadron in A-37s. And that was just a tough way to start up. Tough way to start.
We got anything else that you want to throw in?
Well. Now, you know, I could kind of rattle on where you had moss growing off of your socks over there, like that tree, I suppose.
Well, I've imposed a lot of your time already.
No, I don't mind. It's been a good relaxation to do it. But, I could ramble a lot, probably have. I don't know what other special areas that you might really find interesting and for the type of history that you're looking for.
Anything you want to talk about?
Shut that thing off a little bit and let me...